First Thessalonians chapter 5. We spent a lot of time yesterday on the day of the Lord. Does anybody have any questions about that? And it's this specific, when it talks about the day of the Lord throughout the scriptures, it's talking about this day, the night of the day that we're now in. Okay? But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So who's the they there? When they shall say, who's the they?
The government.
Who do you say?
The government.
I'm a little baffled by the know perfectly. I know Pete said yesterday they know perfectly because of the peace and the study. Is that how they know perfectly?
No. Remember, it's yourselves is autos, know is Idon, perfectly is exactly and accurately. You know that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. They know it because that's what Jesus taught when they had in the scrolls. They know it because that seed of Christ is in them, and they know that perfectly if they're totally abandoned. Okay? All right, so we went on and on about the day of the Lord. And as we talked about yesterday, Paul expected it to be very soon, within his lifetime. I expect it to be very soon, within my lifetime. I think one day, and I believe this ever since the conversion experience, I believe that's why there's a lot of urgency in me, that we be found of him without spot or wrinkle, blameless before him.
And it says somewhere else, doesn't it, to not consider that. That's God's business. I guess that means don't be prophesying it's going to be February.
Well, yeah, and also only be concerned about it. You're concerned about it because you don't want to be found of him with the Babylonian garment or the garment spotted by the flesh. So that you see you're totally empty and you've abandoned yourself to his grace and your only righteousness is of him. You don't worry about being right about anything else.
Yeah, Peter says, considering all this stuff, that everything's going to be what kind of
you ought to be in all, yeah. In all. But again, he talks about it's internal too. The outwardly is it's almost, well, I don't know. Say it's the thing that God sees is what's the religion that's going on inwardly, and that's why this whole mystery of the understanding of the. Of these issues is so that we can repent from this process of thought, that we can cast down imaginations and every high place it gives exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So you don't entertain your little party thing in your mind about, getting sustenance from all these things, and boom, and that's a really good idea, and I'm going to save the world. And you have the discipline enough and the certainty of the vanity of that to cast down those imaginations. You don't live in the if-onlys and what-ifs.
You can't save something that's already been declared dead or destroyed.
I don't know what that means.
Well, I mean, if everyone died at the cross, the only thing you're going to save is the people. So, if he's saving the world, you said, that means you think the world can be redeemed.
Yeah. All right. For when they shall, in verse 3, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, this thing about peace, there is no peace, and we're going to study that, but we're going to also study this issue about the false prophets. But peace is Irene, or Irene means tranquility, but it's talking about the peace externally. And safety is normally, the word is asphalia, which normally means it's safety from the national enemies. Anyway, but we're going to spend some time in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Jeremiah chapter 6 first. Jeremiah chapter 6. See, that's the advantage of everybody having the same Bible. Except me. Oh, Ronnie's got his monster Bible. All right, chapter 6. Let's go to verse 13. He's talking about, let's start in verse 13. Just for the best, it's talking about all of us. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. So that's the idea it's self-explanatory. Now go to chapter 8. You got to remember about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was, when he's talking about all this in his time of utterance, Jerusalem and the surrounding is what was then Judah and Israel were both there then. It was probably their strongest period in terms of national peace, abundance. It looked like from the eyes, it looked like everything was just great. And so here's this guy that comes up. He resisted it. He tried to resist saying anything, but he couldn't because it just. So he started talking. And everything he said ticked off somebody, mostly everybody. And so let's start here. Verse 4. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, Shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to repent. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do you say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed, and they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them. Therefore I will give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. And he said this kind of thing over and over and over. And he is saying these things to us, that we repent from the wickedness, and we know what the wickedness is. We know when your whole being is geared, in a moment of time, you're mad at everybody, on and on and on. But it's what's going on inside your mind. That's what he's talking to us. Israel and Judah and Jerusalem here were the example that we shouldn't suffer the same fate. All right, go to 14, chapter 14.
Remembering where Jesus said, thinking about, the times and the seasons, but you don't know.
Yeah.
Spirit's thing. They probably knew he was sort of referring to this, and that made him mad.
Jeremiah 14. Let's look here. Let's start in verse 7. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. And then thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. For he will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Now, they love to wander is a biggie. And a lot of it started with the first Passover. Remember, it had to be eaten in families. And it had to had the blood on the doorpost. And they had to have their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And they were ready to take off. And so in the wilderness, they continued. They finally got into the promised land. And they loved to wander from... There were, I don't know how many at the time of Jeremiah, but at the time of of Jesus, there were over 400 synagogues in Jerusalem. And the synagogues were never to, I mean, they were always supposed to be gathered in, at that, up until that time, gathered by families. In a sensing, having all these house churches, but all of their attention is on the temple. Because the temple is, there can be no Judaism without the temple. Can you understand what that means? And so they love to wander from point A, from synagogue A to synagogue B to synagogue C, and they love to wander. And Paul said in the New Testament, they love to wander. So they found teachers who can satisfy their itching ears. Well, it's the same thing. They go around until they find somebody or something that agrees with their idolatry. No, they wandered. That's the whole point. They wandered looking for a teacher that would agree with their own idolatry. Got it? That's what it means, they love to wander.
People thus, do that here. Sometimes they wander in here. Hope they hear something from you that will itch their ears.
Oh, yeah.
They wander right out.
Yeah.
And, you know, the growth of the prosperity gospel is epidemic in our whole culture now. And a lot of, they're not getting new believers. They're attracting people that love to wander, that's something, that prosperity gospel is great because it justifies my greed. And I don't have to worry about the poor. That's why I can live in a gated community. You understand?
You think people are aware of this, know this?
What?
You think they know this?
Of course not.
I think they're doing the right thing.
They love to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. And then in verse 11, then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, you shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine. But I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and a divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their own heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this place. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters. For I will pour their wickedness upon them. And again, he's prophesying here both to us, but he's prophesying specifically to what's going to happen in Jerusalem when it was laid siege, and that's what the book of Lamentations is about. Amen? Therefore, in verse 17, therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. And if I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. May the prophet and the priests go about into a land that they knoweth not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We look for peace and there is no good, and for the time of healing and behold trouble. And that was Paul saying to God. Now, in verse 20, we acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. So anyway, it goes on and on. But the point of it is, first of all, Jeremiah sees through. He sees the heart. He sees what's going on. He sees that God cannot permit this to continue. And so he's warning everybody, warning him. And as he's warning, he's praying to God that it doesn't happen. And that's the mark of a prophet. He sees the destruction, but prays for the people that they repent and be saved from it. Now, the destruction that's talked about here is nothing compared to what we read yesterday in 2 Peter. You know, everything in the universe will have to pass through that dot that's smaller than your eye can see. Everything is melting, dissolving. So this is child's play concerning, except when he truly, when he ends up in the permanent visit. And that's, you know, you can argue all day, well, I don't think God should do that. That's not right. That's because we don't understand the mystery of God. We don't understand the purpose and how quickly we can be turned to pleasing men instead of pleasing God. All right, let's go to a couple more. Let's go to Jeremiah 23. You that good? Oh boy. Let's start. We'll go ahead and do this. Start in verse 9. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people, Israel, to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery, and they walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none of them form his wickedness, that none of them doth return from his wickedness or repent. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, now you can't think of this as history. You got to see this as now. Right? Remember, if we were reading this in Hebrew, it would be as if we were there. It's happening. And we're being warned. Verse 15, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not of the mouth of the Lord. They still say unto them that despise me, the Lord said, thou shalt have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even grievous whirlwind. And it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. And actually it says again, as usual, the wicked one. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, till he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from their evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? They are prophets of deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreaming, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. They have exchanged the name of him for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. For what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, that saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. That's, thou shalt not steal. But well, if you look, this is what used to drive me crazy and still does. You know, I have a particular way of speaking. And then I go hear somebody talking and they're using the same words. And it just makes me crazy. It makes me...
Have you ever confronted him?
Ronnie, are you kidding?
Many pills? This, you read this passage on the radio one time back in the 1970s when I first heard you. You were being interviewed on somebody's show. I can't remember what it was. And boy, this is powerful stuff to hear. Just like this, you know, this hammer part. You know, it was like I was being hammered of all these ideas that, you know, just like boom, suddenly everything was like falling down. And it was, you know, you hardly ever hear this. This particular passage from Jeremiah, it's not one of your normal, you know, things people talk about because it's dangerous. I remember that.
We're not done with that yet, but we're out of time. Anybody have any response to all this besides John? Now, one of the things that happens when you monitor these guys, these televangelists, as we do, that, you know, they just plagiarize each other. And then they say, God told me this. No, he didn't. He heard it from Kenneth Copeland. Or Copeland says, blah, blah, blah. No, he didn't. He heard it from Kenneth Hagin. You know, and it's just that they steal each other's words. And that God has a unique, particular way that each one of us speak. And that's what it means. It has to be worked out in you. It's best to be wrought in you so that you bring that uniqueness of the same message in the same, you know, I used to call them, these guys, you know, especially Tilton, I said, a prancing peacock of a preacher. And I heard that, and then I heard somebody else say the same damn thing. Well, I don't want that. That just makes me crazy, and God doesn't want it. He wants you to let everything of that you hear be worked out in you, so there's the uniqueness. That's why, you know, that's why I like, don't ever tell her, but that's why I like Keala. I mean, she has a uniqueness that is scary. But it's that's what each one of you have, that capacity within you to not, you know, not borrow each other's words.
And even I have it sometimes.
Yeah, you can say some unique things, Ronnie, that's for sure.
This is why I make a point.
Yeah, I just don't want to be forgotten.
Anyway, has anybody else any thoughts, any quick thoughts?
Just a quick thing about where he talks about from the priest to the prophet, that he covers the gamut. Nobody escapes. You're not. There's nothing.
Yeah, that's why I was so thankful that I didn't grow up in the church. You know, when I started reading this and doing it, I had no base that was. Then I started visiting the churches. And,
They've been watering it down the whole time.
All right, well, we are going to continue more a little bit on these guys that say peace, peace, when there is no peace. We're going to bring it home so that it's to us.
Bring it all home.